Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high. Be lifted high, for your glory. Be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, for your glory. Be lifted high.
King of all the ages. You're the King of all the ages. You're the author of salvation. You're the reason why we're singing for your glory. Lord, release the sound of heaven. Let it rise in every nation.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving last week. I know I did. It was a little bit late, but that's here nor there. But anyways, today we are coming at you with Christ Today, KKXX Radio, your host Curtis Smith, and in the studio I have a special guest. What time of year is it? It's Christmas time. So who's out there this time of year? I believe we have the Salvation Army, right? So our guest today is Arwen from the Salvation Army. Good morning, Arwen.
Good morning, Curtis.
How is Arwen? And Arwen, we are talking to the listeners, so maybe you could give them a little bit of information about yourself.
Okay, so I am Lieutenant Arwen Roger Guerra. My husband, Lieutenant Craig Roger Guerra, and I are the administrators slash pastors of the Salvation Army Chico Social Service Office and Corps. Now, in the Salvation Army, a pastor has a military rank because we believe we're on an army in the movement for God, and we're new pastors, so our rank is lieutenant.
And that's not captain. That's right before captain, or is that above captain? Where does that rank you?
That is right below captain.
And believe it or not, listeners, they're one of the youngest couples to be mainstream Salvation Army leaders, and I consider that a blessing from the Lord. Do you not consider that yourself, Arwen, a blessing from the Lord?
It's crazy. There's some that are younger than us. My husband and I depend a lot on the Lord. Age doesn't define if you're good in ministry, but dependence on the Lord does.
That is so true. So, Arwen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let me see. My husband and I, we're new here to Chico. We moved here about 5 months ago. In the Salvation Army Church, you get appointed to certain locations. We graduated seminary and were blessedly appointed to Chico, where we took command of the core operations and the social service operation.
Okay, but before that, how was your life before you got involved in the Salvation Army?
Oh, how was my life before I got to be a pastor? The Lord has done miraculous things in my life. Before working with the Salvation Army, I was a student at Simpson University, where I graduated with a degree in cross-cultural ministry and Bible and theology, and I had the opportunity to serve the Lord with the Salvation Army in Hawaii for 6 years, where I met my husband. And from there, we spent the last 2 years in seminary with the Salvation Army in Southern California.
Oh, so you cleared my confusion up, because I thought you guys just came straight from Hawaii. So you were in Southern Cal. So anyways, before all this happened, though, Arwen, I wanted the audience to get a little bit more clearer picture from you, because when we were talking the other day, you said that you, before you got saved, you were a regular high school girl in education, special or continuation, and
yeah.
Somebody special, you know. So let's go into a little bit about how you came to know the Lord.
Oh, you. So I came to know the Lord. I was kicked out of two high schools, and I came to know the Lord at a continuation school from a gentleman who invited me to youth group. But this guy used to be a drug dealer, and he met Jesus. And so we were at a continuation school campus, and he started inviting people. And at first, I couldn't go to youth group on Wednesday nights at the local church because I had mandatory anger management classes. I came to know the Lord because a person who used to be a drug dealer who was transformed by the Holy Spirit invited me to church.
And that got your attention. Not just some average Christian, but someone that the Lord would take, turn them around, change them is what changed you.
Yep.
So I would say our God is in the life-changing, miracle-working business. But I would also ask you, since you've gotten involved in the Salvation Army as a pastor's wife, mm-hmm. maybe some testimonies or something that you have seen recently or within the short time that you've been in leadership, something similar to what happened to you in the life of someone else?
You know, it's interesting how God takes our weak areas and God takes the areas in us that need to grow and uses it for His glory. We were blessed with the opportunity to journey alongside a Salvation Army adult rehabilitation program in Chico, and through that, part of the vision the Lord's given us is to integrate people that have graduated from that six-month residential program. And through that, we've had just miraculous story of seeing families reconciled back together after being torn apart by addiction, seeing young adults rise up and feel empowered to take hold of their lives. And they're coming to our core, and one in particular, one gentleman that is a part of the program, he helped in our social service office, and this past Sunday, his wife and two kids were there, and we got to build relationships with them. And he graduated the program probably 2 months ago, but he's continuing to pursue the things of God and rise up godly children.
So that is an awesome testimony. Someone's life that has changed, and now it's beginning to minister to his family, all because somebody who was changed decided to follow the call of God. But I know that following the call of God is not always an easy thing to do. I know it requires a death, which comes about when we receive Christ through grace. But at the same time, it also requires us at times laying down who we are and what we're about and what we want to do. And Arwin, how does that relate to you about where you're at versus maybe some of the goals and dreams that you had that the Lord has had you lay down? And what has been the result of that? What have you seen as a result of that?
You know, I went into school with this. Well, originally, I wanted to be the independent film director like Steven Spielberg and screenplay writer. I love writing. I love film. And God had other plans. He didn't want me to write the stories, but He wanted me to live the story. So I had this fantasy of going overseas and being an aid worker in a refugee camp. But what He did instead was send me, without any prior knowledge, to work with the Salvation Army Church. He took this girl, and I got to build educational programs and see the bigger vision God has for His people. Not just He wants to meet human need and suffering with the love and compassion of His Holy Spirit. I got to see that firsthand, and the fact that He gets to do that in my life when I struggle every day. We all have those areas of weakness, and how He continues to meet that with His grace.
That is so true, and it seems like that's what's going on in your life. Now, we'll get back to you in a little bit, but what I want to discuss right now is let's talk about the Army and what they do over the holidays and what you have seen happen in Chico, maybe Butte County, in regards to the listeners out there, people out there getting behind the Salvation Army, sponsoring it, supporting it. How is it affecting and changing people's lives that you can see? And also, what are some of the things right now that you guys are doing? And just take your time to share on that.
So our founder, who was William Booth, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to start a movement and an army for God that went forward and directly combated poverty, he had this mission of soup, soul, and salvation, where you meet human needs, you make sure they're clean, they're clothed, you meet them when they're hungry, and then you share the love of Christ with them. And when you see the red kettle, that's us carrying that mission forward, soup, soul, and salvation. When money goes into the red kettles and you see the bell ringers, it goes towards food for our food shelves. It goes towards at-risk youth having the opportunity to go to camp for the summer. It has the opportunity to fund music programs, youth choir programs, youth enrichment programs. It has the opportunity to serve families that need electrical assistance out of our social service office. Every week in our social service office, we serve up to between 500 and 700 individuals for various needs, from food to rental assistance. It's empowering those in the community, not just to give a hand out, but a hand up. We believe in rising people up that we serve to be able to serve back, not because they have to or they're obligated to, but they're compelled by the grace of God to give to the community in order to spread His name.
I like what you just said there. Not a handout, but a hand up. We were talking on Monday about helping somebody, but not just helping them, because you can teach anyone to fish, but you want to teach them beyond fishing. You want to teach them how to take and teach someone else, and not just that they'll receive from you fishing, but they'll receive from their own efforts, their own abilities, that Christ has given them the strength to do this. So maybe share with us how Salvation Army wants to help others come from their need to helping others with what they may have need of.
That's a really good question. This past year, the Salvation Army in Chico teamed up with a program called CalFresh and with students from Chico University, and they came to our building. These are clients that usually come in through our social service office for food assistance, and they were able to take lessons on nutrition and how to cook with the foods that are within their budget and how to stay in that budget and how to eat nutritiously, so to empower them to use those resources for good and letting them know the other resources that are out there. Also, this past week with our Thanksgiving dinner, the meal was cooked out of beneficiaries from our adult rehabilitation program. They collected the donations from the community and they cooked it for 500 plus individuals that would otherwise not have a Thanksgiving dinner. So these are people that are beneficiaries of our recovery program, now serving the community back. And as a part of their recovery, they're getting to see the bigger picture God has for them, the bigger vision he has, and how it includes the whole world, not necessarily just the circumstances they're faced with in that moment.
I want you to take a few minutes, take as long as you like, just to share with people different things that you have experienced yourself since you and your husband have been involved in the ministry. Just a few of the testimonies. I mean, you don't have to give names, you don't have to give, but just testimonies of people whose lives you and your husband, the Lord has used you guys in impacting. Just give us a few of those testimonies.
We have one guy who comes to our youth program faithfully, has been attending the Salvation Army faithfully for a few years. He's in sixth grade, and his mom's sick. And so he gets into our van, and every week on Sundays and on Thursdays when we do youth programs, he just begins to tell me a story. This past week, he was just telling me how one of his jobs at home is to do laundry in the sink and to hang it up in his house, and how he blesses his mom who's sick by taking his scooter over to the local drugstore in order to purchase food for their house. And as we were driving home, he was just sitting there and he's like, "I feel jealous for the other kids, Lieutenant." And I'm like, "Why? Why do you feel jealous?" He's like, "They don't know that I'm the favorite." I'm like, "You're the favorite?" And he's like, "Yes, Lieutenant Craig, my husband, I think I am definitely his favorite because he takes special time just to ask me how I'm doing and just to invest in me." And how this kid who has incredible circumstances and who has an incredible mom in his life who is invested in him, but he's able to rise up and come alongside her and help, and has, for many of us, extreme challenges, and yet he feels like the favorite when he comes to the Salvation Army because people take time to listen and invest in him and hear about his.
So basically, now we're talking about love. So one thing that the people experience from you is love. So why don't you share with us a few more testimonies? So, you know, we want to keep on consistency with the time today, and we have plenty of time. So just take your time and just share with us some more testimonies or whatever else that you have on your heart to share with us at the moment.
We have another volunteer, Sunday school teacher at our facility. She survived multiple brain injuries, and she's now in a wheelchair. And for years, she's been teaching Sunday school at the Salvation Army, and she builds relationships with these kids, and she intentionally teaches them the Word of God. She calls them and follows up with them throughout the week. She's survived crazy health issues, and yet she is always there, and she volunteers throughout the community, including the Jesus Center, weekly to teach Bible study. Because she believes, even in a wheelchair, that she is called to the community of Jesus. And what I love whenever I talk to her, she's like, "I'm in the business of spreading seeds. I'm supposed to go out there and spread seeds to the world." And it's a beautiful thing. And after youth, when I'm taking home a van load, every week I see her in her electric wheelchair with one of the neighborhood kids that she always invites, just riding on the back, and she's rolling along, taking him home, because she is so invested in bringing youth that would otherwise not have an opportunity. She's deeply involved in our church and deeply involved in reaching out because she knows she has a purpose, even amidst being in a wheelchair. We also have incredible teenagers, two of which that have incredible foster parents that have taken them on, and they serve in the church. They serve alongside our youth. This coming Saturday, we're having an event called I'll Fight Day. It's from one of the last sermons of William Booth, where he gave a speech saying, "I'll fight." And in it, he was talking about, while women weep, I'll fight. While people go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go into prison, in and out, I'll fight to the very end. And our teens are leading this, where they're planning service projects to tell the community of Chico, I'll fight. So they're going to be going throughout the community of Chapmantown on Saturday to rake leaves and build relationships. It's all organized by them, empowered by their heart, and led by one of the oldest ringleader of our teen group, who's been making calls to local stores trying to get sock donations because she sees people that have cold feet and her heart melts, and she wants to make sure they have socks. They're able to see that there's other need out there. And these are kids that we send to camp and we invest in, but they know that when you're invested in, it's in order to invest back out. And we're just so proud of them, not because they're obligated, but because they're compelled by the grace of
God. That's some very good information, listeners. One of the things that the Salvation Army has done for years is they've done the kettlebells out at different stores and stuff. And I have had the... Oftentimes I've had people tell me, well, you know, they get paid for that. And I've had people tell me, no, it's volunteer work. I'm going to have Arwen share with you guys a little bit about paid versus volunteer. If anybody really is paid out there, if it's all volunteer work, and how they do help some people out there that take the time to do this.
We do have, in Chico, we have a huge, huge number of volunteer kettle workers. About 80% of our kettle force right now is volunteer, anywhere from churches to service club. Every Saturday out of the month, you can see Aldersgate Methodist out at Kmart. We have various Rotarians come out. We had a celebrity bell ringing at Walmart this past Friday, and it was absolutely incredible. But one of the ministries of the Salvation Army is that we also employ kettle workers. And so this gives an opportunity for a lot of times people on disability, people that need an emergency seasonal job. Bell ringing isn't easy to spend your time out there in the community when it's cold on your feet ringing the bell. And it's to be able to give people an opportunity who need that seasonal position in order to make ends meet. So for example, this year we have a gentleman who's laid on my heart. He's currently living in one of the local shelters in Chico. And in order to become self-sustainable, he noticed that there was an ad for a seasonal position with the Salvation Army. He is now one of our top bell ringers. He's building relationships in community, and it's a powerful testimony of someone taking responsibility for their lives, getting a job just for a season in their life where they need that extra support, where they may not have those resources, and where they feel empowered to go on to the next step in employment. A lot of times people that take jobs with us bell ringing are on disability and this or on unemployment, and these are the only jobs that they can physically do throughout the year. A lot of times these may be usually at-home moms that trying to make ends meet is just challenging in order to get gifts for their kids so that they can purchase them, so they don't have to depend on Christmas assistance programs, want to take the initiative to ring the bell. So we see this as an opportunity for ministry to meet people who are in lower income and who have those seasonal needs right where they're at. Now, the majority of our bell ringing is volunteer here in Chico, but we also do still want to take advantage of that ministry in order to give someone an opportunity to have a hand up instead of a hand out.
You mentioned that again, a hand up versus a hand out. Well, I think, listeners, at this moment, I'm going to slide away from the interview, and I'm going to say to you guys that I hope you're getting something out of this today, because I know I am, and I know that if you got to meet Arwen, you would say, what an incredible woman. But Arwen, you and your husband together, how has this challenged your guys' I said I was going to slide away from it, but apparently a question's coming to mind. How has this challenged you and your husband's relationship with each other in the ministry of the Lord to be stronger warriors, not only out there amongst the believers and amongst the people that need Jesus, but even in your own family? Mm-hmm. How has this involvement with the Salvation Army, how has this increased your relationship, your relationship with each other?
Wow, that's interesting that you ask that. These past 4 months have been an interesting test in that, in the life of our relationship. For years, we've been praying about the right time. We're supposed to have a baby. And a few months before knowing that we were going to be sent to Chico, we had a miscarriage while we were in seminary. And then about 6 weeks ago, at 14 weeks, we had another miscarriage. And it was a devastating time because we believed that we were finally going to have that kid. We've always wanted to have kids, and my husband was really, you know, there's like some people that are born ready to be a parent. Now, that's not me. That's not me, but my husband is. And we had this miscarriage, and it happened on a Saturday night. My husband stayed with me in the hospital until about 5 o'clock in the morning. And that Sunday morning after he lost his baby, he had to come to church. And it wasn't that the church couldn't cover it, or we don't have amazing people, leaders that could rise up, but he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit because he wanted to tell the people that God had called him to love, that love us back, that God is good even in this storm, that even then it is well with his soul. And that really, as new pastors, rocked our world. And so it becomes, are we going to embrace the grace of God even in grief, even when the community knows we're hurting, and trust the community to come up alongside us and support us? Leadership can be lonely, or leadership can be a team environment. Am I at a point in my walk where I'm mature enough where I'm like, oh, I only pour out into others, or am I going to allow my congregation to pour back into me when I'm hurting? And so in a season where many people might have had their marriages rocked, ours, by the grace of God and only God, became stronger. One of my life verses is 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 7, when Paul is saying, he's talking about the thorn in his side and how he asked God time and time and time to get rid of it. And his response is, and God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. I think there's this thing in our Christian mindset that we somehow have to be perfect for God, and we can't be warty, and we can't be messed up, and we somehow have to be perfect when we're around other believers, and that's a lie. There's something, this gift in our weaknesses, this gift in our areas of struggles, this gift in journeying through the pain of a second miscarriage, that God's grace abounds. He meets my weakness, my inability, with the gift of his presence, and he journeys with me. God grieves with me. Now, God's timing is perfect. I don't believe he took my baby. I believe his grace is when he holds my husband and I and pushes us on the small of the back, saying, I am he who is with you. I am he who will sustain you. I will never sustain you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous and go into the land I have promised for you. And so we can trust on that grace God has. We don't have to shy away from the hard things. We get to press in and know that he is sufficient and know that he is the God that goes before us and he has good things for us.
That is so true. That is so true. The grace of God is sufficient. It takes a mess sometimes to make a messenger. It takes a mess to have a masterpiece. It takes a test to have a testimony. We have a lot of testifonies out there and not a lot of testimonies out there. And when people are tested, will they stand strong? Will they fight? She's just talking about the miscarriage, and yet her husband would go and stand up for God and minister the gospel the next day. Many people might not do that, but yet that's a part of fighting. He's willing to fight the battle no matter what comes. It appears to me there's a scripture in the Bible that says, let the dead bury the dead. And apparently that's what he was doing. He was letting them take care of them in their situation, but at the same time he was putting that next to what God had called him to do. And I believe that family first and then because family is ministry. Yep. But sometimes at the spur of the moment, you got to be ready to say, hey, I've got to do this. I've got to do what is put before me. Don't spend forever doing it. Go take care of the situation and get back to your family. And when I met your husband, Craig, the other day, he seems like he's really all about family, friends, relationship, and most of all, getting down to work, getting down to brass tacks, and getting the testimony out there, getting the message out there. That's what your husband seems like to me. He seems like a man who is serious about what he does, but yet he can enjoy himself. He can enjoy it. He can have fun. How have you and him had fun in the ministry that you guys are in? What are some things that you have been, that has been fun to you, and what has been some things that you have been able to make fun in the Salvation Army ministry?
Oh my goodness, every day we have, like, sometimes we just can't go to sleep because we're up laughing. It's just the joy that God has. Last night we picked up kettles together and we dropped them off, and we got to just even see the provision of God in the kettles after a stormy day in Chico. And after that, my husband took me on a date And he got me a burrito bowl, and then he took me over to Rite Aid, and he got me ice cream. And we picked up necessities that we needed for the house. And while we were there, we saw one of our bell ringers, Mr. Ken Jerusher, who volunteers his time 90 hours this season. And we're able to see them, and we're there. And he's like, oh, wait, I need to go somewhere, because he saw a needy person at the door who needed a dollar, and he was quick to respond. I'm sure all pastors believe this. I'm very new to this realm, and my husband and I are very new to this realm, but we have the most fun congregation that completely cracks me up all the time. I was just on the phone with one of our members, Danny, and I was asking him about helping us with a Red Kettle thing, and I got on there, and it was like a jolt of the Holy Spirit where I just wanted to start laughing. Because I experienced God's joy, not like laughing and rolling around, but I was just like, wow, this is a brother in the Lord, and he's jolting me with excitement to serve God. And we just started laughing together. We just, the next three Fridays at Dutch Brothers, from early in the morning this Friday, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then the next two from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., we're doing something called Rock the Kettle at Dutch Brothers, where some of our church members are going to dress up like elves, and they're going to ring the bell, because we believe that that money is going to put put food on our food shelf in the summer when it gets dry. And we just have a lot of fun, because if you can't goof around, if you can't laugh when craziness happens, that's just a hard life.
It is. That's so true. You were just mentioning the Rock the Kettle, but I also was watching the news last night, and they were talking about Stuff the Bus. You want to go into a little bit about Stuff the Bus and how much involvement that you and your husband are having in that, and how many people are coming alongside that and really getting involved, and can people still get involved with this, and if so, how?
Stuff the Bus is an incredible ministry where we team up with a local TV station and other sponsors, including Ford, to get toys to the needy in Chico this season. This season, out of our social service office, we're looking at serving about 600 families who would otherwise not have Christmas through food boxes and through seasonal assistance like toys, and 1,000-plus children of lower-income families. In order to do that, it takes an army and a supportive community to do that. The Stuff the Bus event will be held December 12th at the Chico Mall parking lot near Outback. People are invited to come bring an unwrapped toy. There's going to be a live radio feed. We're working with Rob a Bus and stuffing it, because we want to stuff it with joy. We want to stuff it not just with a toy, but with the possibility to build a relationship in the future.
Now that's something that you can all think about doing. I know everybody's kind of maybe having a hard time this year around Christmas, but if you can bless a child, hey, Salvation Army, that's what they're about, blessing children. One of the other things that the Salvation Army does that I really like is that they find a need and they fill it. If you have a problem with a bill, if you have a problem with something, and you go to them, you contact them, you let them know that you have an issue, whether it's even, I don't know exactly what all they help with, but they help with a lot of things. I know because my mom was involved as a worker with the Salvation Army for quite a few years, and I also know that they do care about you, and they go out of their way. You don't just get a little something. You get a lot from them for the holidays, because they really do care about families. They really do care about people. And I've met these wonderful attendants just recently. You know, one of the things they did is they got my interest when they sent out their newsletter. And I asked Arwen, and I'm going to ask her again, how do ministries come together and work together? How can other ministries come along and tag along with you? And is that important? Versus if it was just you guys doing it, or does it make it a lot more stronger of a message when there's other ministries coming together along with you guys to serve the community?
That's an excellent question, because sometimes we think we're divided on denominational lines, right? When really God is about the church, and that includes everyone. So a huge part of our ministry is catching the vision that God has given other believers in the community of Chico. For example, we recently started a Wednesday night service called The Foundry. It's a recovery-based service for young adults at our core facility. And on that worship team, we have members of other churches. We have leaders from the local Celebrate Recoveries, from other churches that are coming together because they believe in a Wednesday night service opportunity for those in recovery. And we want to come alongside that need in the community. And we know we can't do that on our own. So we've been surrounded by other pastors, other leaders, several people on our worship team are involved in the Friday night Celebrate Recovery that goes on in town, and they come alongside, and they, what's really neat is other pastors and other ministry leaders have been praying for a movement of the Holy Spirit within the Salvation Army in order to reach Chico because they know of the unique resources God has endowed us with. It's a huge blessing. We greatly believe in it. A lot of our bells are rung by local churches. Every week, every Sunday at our core, we have a program called Meal Ministry, where anywhere between 150 to 300 people come for the past 20 plus years, come and get a meal, a warm meal. We give them a devotion. We want to provide a warm place for them to be. Or during the summer, we have volunteers from the local Methodist Church, Aldersgate, come out and do a barbecue for them, where they feel like they have a safe place to call home. And a lot of that ministry is ran by local churches volunteering once a month to provide food, to cook food, to be that hand of Jesus.
Yeah, some of us, well, actually all of us have a specific calling on our lives from the Lord for one reason or another, and one way or another. We may not all be the hand. Some of us may be a different part of the body. I've been described as a couple parts of the body that I will not mention over there. But God uses the whole body together. Every single member is used for the purpose of, hopefully, of bringing glory, honor, and praise to His name for the things that they see done with His power, His glory in their lives as they step out in faith. Now, some of you out there might be going, you know, I just don't know if I have anything to give. And if I have to give, what can I do? How can I get involved? Arwen, you want to hit on that?
That's an excellent question, too. We believe in time, talent, and treasure. Not all of us can reach deep into our pockets and put money into the kettle during the season. We believe that some of us have time to give towards volunteering. If you're interested in volunteering in the Angel Tree program, we're always looking for people to sit at our tree in the mall and greet the community and sign out angels for children. If you're interested in ringing the bell, we have volunteer opportunities for that. We have volunteers opportunities throughout the year to serve people, either through our social service office and sorting and distributing food or different work projects throughout the community. Sometimes it's our talent. We have several volunteers that are talented musicians that come to our programs and just play music for people. Maybe you're a woodworker and you want to teach a woodworking class for youth. I don't know. There's just so many opportunities to serve and not just give monetarily, because we know that that's a challenge for some. We have several opportunities to serve with youth throughout the years. This is definitely a program that we wish to develop with the Salvation Army. My husband grew up in the Salvation Army as a kid, and he went to Salvation Army camp, and he learned how to play a brass instrument. From going to a Salvation Army camp, attending a Salvation Army corps, and weekly taking brass classes, he was able to get a full-ride scholarship for his BA and his master's, all because of skills he gleaned from Salvation Army programs that are supported by the community. We put kids into educational programs and we look for volunteers in those ways because we believe it gives them skills for life. We're all about enriching kids, empowering kids for the future. And frankly, I don't have all the skills needed to teach a child. And so we know that there's amazing people out there with those resources.
You know, I was going to have another guest on with you today as well, because you guys have a housing project, you guys have a treatment center, you guys have some other things going on here in Chico. Can you discuss a little bit about those programs as well that you guys have going on in Chico, where people are finding that the Salvation Army is being of help to them in other ways besides what we just discussed?
So the Salvation Army Chico, there are two separate administrations, but we work together all the time. So one administration is my husband and I with the Corps, the church, and the social service office. And the second administrative hub is the Adult Rehabilitation Program and the thrift stores, which fall under the leadership of Envoys Dennis and Tanya Stump. Now, the Adult Rehabilitation Center is a 50-bed, 6-month residential drug and alcohol rehabilitation center where it's for men and women, and they can go into the program and come, and we offer the opportunity for them to come into a saving knowledge of God, work towards reconciliation with your family, all sorts of things. There's a culinary track where people who graduate the program come up SafeServe certified, so they're able to look for jobs in the food service industry. Also, it's a work therapy-based program because there's a strong belief, we've said it before, we'll say it again, in the Salvation Army and giving a hand up, not a handout. We want the people, the goal of that program is to have the people graduate with tools in order to be successful in their recovery, and part of that's job skills. So a lot of the thrift stores you see across the North Valley with the Salvation Army shield on it result from beneficiaries in their work therapy program working to equip those stores with items.
Talk about the shield a little bit. Talk about the what it means to you and what the resemblance of the shield is, and how that applies to being in the army of the Lord too. You know, what the shield, because the Bible does talk about the shield of faith. It talks about putting on the, you know, so talk about the symbol of the shield a little bit.
The shield is a powerful symbol in the Bible. As you're talking about the shield of faith and how we march forward with the shield to fight the kingdom of darkness in his name, to work for God because God wants a relationship with his people. But in the Salvation Army, when we see the shield, we don't want people just to see the shield. The shield is an interesting image of ours. It's one of the most recognizable in the world. Actually, for many people, they did a study on this when it came to business logos. It's more recognizable than the Coca-Cola symbol. People see that and they associate it with a thrift store. They see that and associate it with our emergency disaster relief or the Donut Girls of World War II. But our prayer is when they see that shield, they see the blood of Jesus. That they see that we're not just out to give out a food box, however powerful that is, and I wouldn't deny the power behind that, but we're fueled by the love of Christ moving forward in faith in order to serve the community the best way we can.
Didn't you say earlier the three S's, and one of those S's was soups?
Soul and salvation.
Yeah. So people so people don't just need a soup. People need to have a relationship with people, and they need to know that people care. So in the process of this, and in the process, I mean, it's helping people to know that they're loved. But now that they know that they're loved, how might you work with them a little bit more? How might you work with them in helping them to go out and do a ministry or a program, but that they know they have your support, they know they have God's call, and they're able to take what you've given them and to go out and to feed others? How might someone be able to gain this knowledge or get this understanding from partnering up with you guys or having you guys maybe minister to them during this time of need in their life?
We have several opportunities to do that at the Salvation Army. In our teen program, we provide a discipleship program that actually has scholarships for those that complete that scholarship program, specifically to encourage them to go on to higher education. We also have, with our Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center, the alumni that come to our program or anybody who struggles with that, because we believe recovery doesn't happen in a vacuum. Recovery most successfully happens within the context of community, gathering around them, inviting people to have mentors, to have accountability in their lives, to have that person to call. We also, through our advisory board, several people who have come our way have found jobs. Now, we can't always promise jobs, but we can provide a community of support that will come alongside and pray and encourage and be that person to take you out to coffee when you need to talk, that empowerment to move further up and further in into the calling which God has for them.
You know, you were just talking about courage again, and also you were talking about helping others move up into the calling that God's given them. But we haven't yet touched on the basis of something. Earlier you were talking about the miscarriage at you. Couple miscarriages that you'd been through. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible also says to count it pure joy when you face all kinds of diverse trials. In your life personally, what does that mean to you and how have you been able to do that?
I've been able to do that. I remember laying in the hospital as the doctor's coming in and we have to go through the procedure to make sure I'm all set after the miscarriage. And my heart is just completely shattered. And I remember the power of the Holy Spirit just resting on me. And I just began to weep, because I was grieving, but I felt like I wasn't grieving alone. I wasn't grieving in this vacuum. And my husband reaches over and he grabs my hand, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? We have to name this baby. And I feel like we're supposed to name this baby Kai. And my husband responds by going, you would not believe this, but God has placed on my heart that I need to pray for rain, and I need to pray for revival, and I need to, not because our North State's been needing rain, right? Chico's just been this dry place, and how God wants to have this outpouring of his Spirit upon his people. And a lot of times the Spirit is symbolized in the form of water, and how Kai in Hawaiian means ocean water, and how we get to dive into God, that boundless sea of his joy and of the gift of his presence. Even when, how the hymn goes, sorrows like sea billows horn, even then it is well with my soul. You can have that joy. Now, joy doesn't mean it's okay. It means that it's okay not to be okay, and God's presence will meet you when it's not to be okay.
Joy also means that God may not be calming you, he may not be calming the storm necessarily, but he's calming you in the midst of the storm.
Mm.
listeners, I want to take a moment out and go over briefly. As you all know, we do a call-in show where if you hear us and you call in, you can win a prize. And today, because you take the time to listen, I hope you enjoy the program. I hope that you're getting something out of today's program. And I am going to be giving out a prize. I believe I'm going to be giving out a $10 Smokin' Moe's, if I can find that in the studio. Oh, it's in my pocket. A $10 Smokin' Moe's gift buck for Smokin' Moe's restaurant here in town. And if you have never eaten at Smokin' Moe's, you might as well call us in and ask for that prize, because it is yours for whoever it be. It's not necessarily a caller number today, by the way. I will tell you a little bit more about Smokin' Moe's. Smokin' Moe's has great food, great service, great quality. And whoever the lady is that gave me these gift deals, I appreciate her, because all I said is, I'm doing a ministry and I need a couple of gift cards. Does anybody out there want to help? And you know what? She gave me a couple of really nice gift deals right off the bat. So Smokin' Moe's is on 131 Broadway in Chico. And Smokin' Moe's has given me this to give to you. So if you call up, call the station. At phone number for the station is, let me get to it, 894-7325. You say, I listen to Christ Today and I like the show, or I listen to Christ Today and that guy needs to go away. Or if you listen to the show and you have some comments for me, I really want to know what people out there think. And I've asked people to give me feedback. And I plan on having this person that we have in the studio, I plan on having her and her husband in the future on the air again. So if you guys, even before we close out, if you have any questions for them, feel free to call up and say, I have a question for them, or I want to get behind what they're doing. I'm sure they would appreciate that. But anyways, call in for that. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen out there listening today, if you want to call me because you want to talk to me, my number is area code 530-332-0826. 530-332-0826. What is Arwen's number that she can be reached at if she has anybody that has questions for her?
Well, I'm tempted to give out my cell phone number, but I'm afraid of the enormous amount of calls I might get. So the church number for the Salvation Army Chico Corps is 530-342-1871. Once again, that's 530-342-1871.
And her husband's name is Craig. Now, the two of them are probably really needing some help about now, because Christmas is about to come into, Christmas is in season as it is. But they just did their Thanksgiving dinner. And did you guys have plenty of help for the Thanksgiving season?
We did. We were tremendously blessed by the community, both in in-kind donations in food and also our incredible volunteer force. We had 60-plus volunteers that got that show off the ground.
Is there anything else before Christmas that you guys have that you're going to be throwing off, or is there anything to bring in the new year that you guys are going to be throwing off as far as a project?
Oh, various projects. We have various events coming up. We have our Stuff the Bus, if you're interested in bringing a toy by there. We have our Angel Tree program, if you're interested in volunteering at the mall, signing out angels to people, or if you're interested in sponsoring an angel tree, or sponsoring a barrel to collect food, or sponsoring a barrel to collect coats. We're also doing a coat drive to give out through our social service office throughout the year to those that are cold. Also, we're sponsoring buckets for toys. So if you would like to have any of those at your church or at your business location, we'd love to get them to you. We also have our Tis the Season event, which is happening December 11th. We're really excited about this. This is a canned food drive that's going to be going on in the Raley's parking lot at Notre Dame. And then we also have Toys for Tacos, which is our partnership with Burrito Bandito on Saturday, December 20th from 12 to 2 p.m. We're partnering with a local radio station. We're partnering with the owners of Burrito Bandito. And if you bring an unwrapped toy, they can hook you up with some tacos. All those events, we'd love your presence at.
See, you guys get something. If you give, it comes back to you. I say it's better to give than it is to receive. So do it out of the heart of wanting to give, not because you're going to get tacos, but hey, if you can get those tacos, why not? Enjoy them, because I've never been to Burrito Bandito, but apparently Arwen must have been, because she's really talking highly favorable of them. So anyways, listeners, we still have a few more minutes, but I think what we're going to do is to just take the time to say, that if you have a need over the holidays, whatever you have a need of, let somebody know. Don't be closed off. Don't sit in depression. And if you can't get through it, help somebody else get through it. Because when you take your focus off yourself and you're able to help somebody else, it can get you through what you're going through. There's so many people this time of season compared to maybe 10, 15 years ago that are hurting today that need to know that Christ loves them, that Jesus loves them, and Jesus wants to give them his grace, his love, his compassion. He has so much compassion for them, that he's so caring about them. And people that see him as a mad God ready to strike them down every time they do something wrong, that's not true, is it, Arwen?
Not true at all.
And matter of fact, Arwen, you understand something about grace. Do you want to give us a little bit of understanding of what God has revealed to you regarding his grace?
His grace means that even when I'm warty, even when I feel completely inadequate, and even when I mess up, I can turn to him and receive his forgiveness again. Now, Paul talks about, like, should I continue to sin? Oh, that I could experience the grace of God more. No, we need to grow up into Christian maturity and put away childish things and stop eating the baby food and move on to, like, real hearty meat and potatoes faith. But at the same time, there's no condemnation in the Spirit. When we turn to God in our areas of weakness, when we turn to God in areas of sin where we need that support, he will meet it with the gift of his presence, and he never lets his children go.
That is so true. He never lets his children go. He gets mad about us, not mad at us. And one thing about freedom is that, you know what? We're free to sin. We're free from sin. We're free to sin. And if we screw up, it's okay. Sin doesn't identify us. We don't do things because we're obligated. We do things because we have a desire to want to do things, because we understand that Christ did not have to go to the cross. All we do is talk about his life. But you know what? His life is important, but do we understand what he did at the cross? Do we understand when he said it was finished, it was finished? So what? So that we can grow in him, so we could be what he wants us to be, so we could allow him to do through us what he wants to do through us. I can guarantee you Arwen wouldn't be here today if it was for her and her husband trying to do all this on their own. It's taken a great understanding of who the Lord is and what the Lord is doing. Not them necessarily, but what the Lord is doing through them. Because with the budget that they're on, and with the talent that she talked about that she had and how she wanted to be in the movies, she could be making more money probably doing movies.
No.
But at the same time, they're being more blessed by having answered the call of God on their lives. They're having more of a blessing on their lives and having God, by having God's will in their lives than they would if they were doing their own thing. And I really hope to have them back on. I hope you guys are enjoying today's show. And I want to say thank you for me, because I just changed chairs a few minutes ago. I was about to go insane sitting in the wrong chair. But anyways, folks, anybody out there, if you need prayer too, feel free to call the radio station. And if you want to support this show and you like my voice, you like who I am, you like what you hear this program being about, feel free to call my number and let me know. My number is 530-332-0826. I'm not on the air for myself just to take a few breathers. I'm on the air because I want to encourage, I want to inform, and I want to bless the Lord. And I hope you guys have been blessed today. And Arwen, you mentioned brass earlier. And before we go off the show today, when we go off, we're going to be playing a song that's going to take us off the air. But talk to us a little bit about brass. Do you have a passion with brass? Do you enjoy brass? What do you think about the Salvation Army, Army brass? And just give us a little bit of feedback on that.
So I grew up with a sister who played the French horn and a brother who played the trombone. And I didn't have any knowledge of the Salvation Army, but I loved going to marching band competitions and concert band performances and UCLA things where my brother was there. And then I was introduced to the Salvation Army and met my husband, who plays this instrument called the euphonium. I'd never heard of it before, but through him and through the Salvation Army, I learned that we have a proud tradition of brass music. We actually have composers within our church that write them and compose them and perform them. Every year we have a brass band that marches in the Rose Parade in Pasadena. So it's a huge part of our church tradition because it's a part of our educational element. And today Curtis is going to be sharing with you one of the brass numbers that the Salvation Army produced on a CD.
Do you play brass yourself? Do you play any instruments yourself?
No, I can make squeaky noises. I have tried very hard. Unfortunately, I'm not gifted, but I am gifted in appreciating someone who can play a brass instrument.
Is there anything else, Arwen, that you have on your heart that you want to share with the listeners real quick? We still have a little bit of time. Is there anything that you want to say to them that's from your heart that maybe we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but my encouragement to listeners is when you see the shield, know that we do it for Jesus. The motivation behind what we do is because we're compelled by a deep understanding that God loves us, and we can't possibly completely understand that until we see him in glory, but we're compelled by the love of God. We're compelled because we believe he's a God of compassion and a God of grace, and that we believe that we are called to serve him. So when you see that shield, I encourage you to see Jesus. I encourage you, when you see a bell ringer ringing the bell, a lot of the people that volunteer for us, a lot of the people that we employ may not necessarily know God, but I encourage you to show them compassion, to build a relationship with them. It's all a part of what God has called us to do, and we are proud to be serving with the movement of his Spirit.
That is so awesome. Well, you know what, listeners? I want to say that we're running a little short on time today, but we will be back next week, and I want everybody to be happy when you listen to the program next week. And if you're not happy, definitely listen, because we have a guy coming on, and his name is Chief Happy with the Neighborhood Happy Project. And you'll get to hear more about that next week. He is a man of God, I believe. We've spoken, we've talked. He seems really compassionate about people, but he knows what it is to be joyful and happy, and he's going to share on that next week. I want to thank Arwen for taking the time to come in. She's such a busy woman. She has so much stuff on her plate, but yet she takes the time for you guys because she wants you guys to hear her heart. And we're going to say a prayer. We're going to pray this thing out, and then we'll play some music to end it. But we're going to pray a prayer. So I think I'm going to have her close us off with prayer, start off with closing us off with prayer, and then I'll come alongside and finish with her.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you because you are a God of grace. You are a God that meets us with the joy of your presence in the storm. It doesn't mean the storm's going to go away. It doesn't mean that horrible things aren't going to happen, but it means that you gift us with the gift of your presence, and that when we hurt, you hurt. All we have to do is reach out to you. That in you, there's no condemnation, but when we come to you and confess our sins, Lord, you meet us with your joy, and I praise you for that. You are a jealous Father who wants that relationship with us. I praise you because you are a God who gave everything. In this season, we celebrate that you gave everything, even your Son, to be born as a human so we can intimately know that you resonate with us where we are at. You went through all the motions of a human and died on the cross, and more importantly, didn't stay dead, conquered death, rose again, that we might have a relationship with you. Father, this season is all about your Son, all about your epic plan for a relationship with your creation. Father, I ask that you bring that desire upon the people of Chico. We pray for your Holy Spirit to fall. We pray for revival. We pray for a renewed interest in you this season, that hearts that might be dealing with wounds, hearts that might be caught up in other things, that you stir inside of them. Thank you for Chico, Lord. Thank you that you don't leave your people without hope, that confident expectation that you came once, but more importantly, you're coming again, because you are a God of relationship. You're a God who meets our needs, and you're a God who looks at us with joy. Father, we just pray for an outpouring of salvation upon your people and an outpouring of provision. Thank you for this time.
Lord, we do come together right now, Lord, and I pray for people out there that don't know you. Lord, maybe they know about religion. Maybe they know about law, legalism, but they don't know you. They have not come to understand your love, your truth, your Spirit, your mercy, your goodness. I pray, Lord, this Christmas season, they would receive that gift. Lord, I've heard people say before the best gift they got on Christmas was the gift of Christ. And Lord, I pray that people this year, this season would be touched. Lord, if they're depressed, if they're discouraged, if they're going through a hard time, that they would know that you're their strength, you're their comfort, you're their peace. Lord, we know you're coming again, and none of us knows when. But we know, Lord, that it's about souls right now. It's about reaching out, loving, compassionately caring for people. And Lord, whether it's another 6 months, year, 2 years, we don't need to focus on that. We need to focus on what you want to do now and take each day as it comes. And Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you go before us, that you give us strength and peace. And just pray you bless all the listeners out there. And we thank you for that. Amen. Listeners, we're going to let you go for today, and feel free to give us a call. Feel free to give me a call. Let me know what you think about the show. Next week, we will talk to you again, and hope you have a great week. God bless you all.